them in. Bring them in from the fields of sin. Bring them in, bring them in. Bring the wandering lost to Jesus. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Grab your Bible. And Brother Tracy, our associate pastor, Good Samaritan Baptist Church. Been here a year now, I suppose. Hallelujah. And you come preach what God's laid on your heart.
I haven't been watching any TV on the news, but I did read something on my phone. And it was about Trump going over to France for the World War. It was a 100-year anniversary of the ending of World War I. And he decided, because it was raining and they were supposed to take a helicopter over there, that he wasn't going to go to the dedication at the cemetery. And everybody jumped on his case saying he shouldn't have gone. If I would have been him, I would have went. And I'd have went and saw where Patton was buried. I'd have saw all the graves. And I told that French president that we're not your enemy. That person Merkel that you're holding hands with and griping about Trump for, if it wasn't for the Americans, then you would be speaking German and Merkel would be in charge of France and Germany. Yes. Because twice we came over there and our guys died to save France. In fact, all of Europe. Twice we did that. And I don't know. I just get fired up about that. Because I was in France for 3 weeks and I've never seen anybody so snotty and prideful in my life. And I'm from Texas. And that might be one of the reasons I hate them so much, you know, because they think they're better than Texans. And that's just terrible. But they really are snotty and prideful. Yeah. But to see them on the anniversary, the 100th anniversary of Armistice Day, holding hands with the Germans and talking bad about America, that just made me sick. Yeah. It didn't make me sick, it made me mad. I want to talk to you about a little boy that was born November 11th, 1885, in San Gabriel, California. He grew up and he wanted to be a hero. He wanted to be a hero. This guy had to go to West Point 5 years to graduate. He graduated in 1909. He started his career leading cavalry troops against Mexican forces of Pancho Villa under General Pershing. He was sent, right after that, he went to World War I because World War I broke out. He became the first officer assigned to the new U.S. Army Tank Corps during World War I. And he led his troops from the front. In fact, he was leading the troops from the front when he got shot with a 50 caliber machine gun in the leg. He went home. When he turned 33 years old, World War I ended. The very day he turned 33. And this was Patton. Patton excelled at everything he did. He left after World War I. He went to Kansas. He became the first Army Master of the Sword. In fact, he rewrote the handbook on sword fighting for the Army. But after World War I, he stayed in France and he learned defense. He became a master of the sword. He also loved polo. And he was really good at polo also. But he excelled in everything he did. In World War II, we were getting whooped by North Africa. We was getting whooped by Rommel. In fact, we hadn't won one battle. And when they sent Patton down there, he was telling them, he had all his officers in there, and he was telling them what was going to happen in the next battle. And this one general kept saying, it's not going to work, it's not going to work, it's not going to work. Everything Patton said, he said, it's not going to work. There's a 30 carbine leaned up against the door. I mean the wall. And Patton went over and grabbed it. And went over to that, it was a general. He handed it to the general. And he said, you're going to lead the infantry. They did that battle. It didn't work. That general came back, and he, you know, World War II, uniforms and stuff for battle. It ain't like today. They just had real thin shirts on. There was bullet holes in that general's back where he was hugging the ground and bullets was coming over. I don't know what that general's name, I forgot about it, is. I forgot his name. And truth to matter, nobody else knows his name either. Patton won the first American victory against the Nazi-led forces in the Battle of El Guitar in March of 1943. Soon after that, I might add too though, but Rommel went home, and Rommel wasn't there. Every time Rommel went home, we won. When Rommel was there, we lost. And part of the reasons that we lost so many people on D-Day was because of Rommel. And if Rommel would have been there, I don't think we'd have won the Battle of Normandy. But then he went to France, and then he slapped a soldier for having a... Not to France. He went to Italy, and then he slapped the soldier for having battle fatigue, and he got in trouble. In fact, he almost lost his job. They almost took him back to America. But they then you know all the story about then in World War. Then after Battle of Normandy, they bring him in, and him and his Third Army just started whooping the Germans all the way back to Germany. It's funny, it's ironic, it's not funny, that after the war, that he was killed in a car wreck, and he was buried with his troops that died in the Battle of the Bulge. The Nazis, prisoners of war, dug his grave. I thought that was ironic. But it was ironic also that on November 11, 1918, he turned 33 and the war ended. He was born, according to him, to fight in wars. He was born to lead troops. I want to tell you about another little boy. He was born in Bethlehem. He had seven brothers. He was the least of all the brothers. He was the smallest in his family. And all the older boys didn't have too much to do with him. In fact, his father didn't have too much to do with him. He wanted him to go take care of the sheep way on the other side of the farm, away from the family. But as we learned this morning about sheep, that the shepherd takes care of the sheep.
Amen.
The shepherd is supposed to give his life for the sheep. The thing about David that I like is, you know, he didn't tell anybody about the bear and the lion that he killed until it was time for him to face Goliath. He didn't run around telling everybody, look what I done. Because he knew that God did it. In fact, that's what he said when he told the story. But see, David risked his life for those sheep. He went up against a bear. He went up against a lion. But I tell you, most people wouldn't have done that. But see, he was obedient to his father, and he was taking care of those sheep. I want to tell you something. David was getting less life lessons taking care of those sheep because he was fixing to take care of the whole nation of Israel. If you would turn to 2 Samuel chapter 23, this is near the end of David's reign. He went out against a giant and almost gotten killed. He was old and couldn't fight anymore. And somebody had to come and help him. Abishai, I believe, had to come and help him to kill the giant. And all of his mighty men got together and said, look, you're not going to go out anymore. You're not going to fight in these battles. We can't lose you. And in 2 Samuel, chapter 23, in verse 8, it starts talking about the mighty men of David. I want you to look in verse 10. Actually, I want you to look at verse 9. And after him, Eleazar, the son of Dodo the Ahohite, one of the three mighty men with David, when they defiled the Philistines that were gathered together to battle, and the men of Israel were gone away. He arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary, and his hand clave into the sword, and the Lord wrought a great victory that day, and the people returned after him only to spoil. This was a mighty man that David had near him. But I want to tell you something. David was mightier than any of the rest of the men because God said so.
Amen.
But he said, it says that he arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary. Most people want God to do something for them, but they don't want to do anything for themselves. You see, Patton said, lead me, follow me, or get out of my way. But Patton was going to do something. David did something. He was a soldier. Even when Saul was after him, he said, I'm going to fight no matter what. So he went and he fought for the wrong army. But he fought. And even them, even the enemies, even the Philistines says, hey, we have no better fighter than David. He has done nothing but right. He has done nothing but good. But we cannot have him go up against his kinfolk. We're fixing to fight Israel. And David can't go with us. You see, David was doing something. In fact, one of the last things he told Solomon was, be a doing. God says, I can't build his house, but you can. Do it. Go and do what God wants you to do. Patton wasn't going to let anybody outdo him. Now, he didn't do it for God. Patton did it for himself. But I believe with all my heart that God raised up Patton. You see, we all have gifts. We all have things that we need to do. And Patton believed with all of his heart that he was raised, he was born to fight. That's probably one of the reasons that he died. Because he didn't have anything to do after the war. He wanted to get the Germans, because he thought they was good, the best fighting people he ever seen. He wanted to get a bunch of Germans and go after the Russians. He said, we're going to have to do it one day. Let's do it now when we got all the equipment. Look in verse 12. Look at verse 11. And after him was Shammah, the son of Agi, the Harite. And the Philistines were gathered together into a troop, where was a piece of ground full of lentils, and the people fled from the Philistines. But he stood in the midst of the ground and defended it, and slew the Philistines, and the Lord wrought a great victory. Lester Roloff said, this is where you get it. Have you ever heard he stood his ground? Lester Roloff said, well, that's where they get it. He stood his ground. And there's one thing about King David that you'll understand is he stood his ground. He didn't back down from anybody. He would go up against anybody. If he said, God, should I go up against them? He said, go up against them. And he went. I want to tell you something. Patton didn't back down either. They called him blood and guts because he lost a lot of men. But I want to tell you something. He led by example. David led by example also. And see, as a teenager, he did more as a teenager than most men do their whole life. He did more as a teenager than King Saul and all the armies of Israel, because he killed Goliath. He didn't do it, but God did it. But God used him. He went up against him. And he always gave God the glory. The Lord brought a great victory. David fought when nobody else would. He took the battle to the enemy. He didn't wait for the enemy to come to him. And that's exactly what Patton did. he also knew that it was the Lord winning the battles for him, not himself. And he didn't take credit for it. I want to tell you something. Patton led a bunch of men, but those men won the battle. But it was God who brought the victory. I believe with all my heart that in the Civil War, that the South would have won if they'd have been right. You see, if one general who found all them Yankees at Gettysburg would have took the hill like Lee asked him to, all those cannons wouldn't have been firing on the Confederate troops the next day. But see, I believe with all my heart that God wants all men free. And I believe that God wrought all that. Also believe that God didn't want Hitler to win because, you know, everybody knows that Hitler was of the devil. But I also think of Churchill. What if Churchill would have surrendered? What if we'd have done like France and just laid down and died? Just gave up? Did you know that all those forces that Hitler sent against Britain would have went straight to Leningrad? And they would have whooped the Russians. And the whole deal, the whole World War II would have been a different story. And a lot of people in Britain wanted Churchill to surrender. They wanted the bombing to stop. What if that would have happened? Because all of Europe did that. Think about that for a little bit. You see, Churchill fought. And he said, we could never surrender. And I think a lot of people have surrendered already. They've given up. And that's what the Bible says. The Bible says that in the last days, the heart of many will wax cold because of iniquity. What good is it going to do? Nobody's listening. What good is it going to do? Nobody cares. You see, there's a lot of people in the history of this country who cared enough, that fought, who gave their lives. And everybody that fought in wars will tell you the real heroes are the ones that died, that didn't come back. I think Saving Private Ryan is the best movie ever made. I bawl at it every time. Because the guy says, tell me my life counted for something. Because, see, those men gave their lives to save his so that he could have a life, so he could come back and live the American dream. You see, if it wasn't for the Americans that died, France would not have Macaroni as their leader. You see, if it wasn't for the Americans that died, all of Europe would be totally different. Excuse me. I want to tell you about another little boy that was born in Bethlehem. He was laid in a manger. He was wrapped in death clothes. The Bible says swaddling clothes, and that's what they wrapped Lazarus was in when he died. You see, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was born so he could die. He was born so he could give his life for us. He lived a quiet life until he turned 30. And the minute that he got baptized by John the Baptist, here comes old Satan after him. He starts his ministry, and for 3 1/3 years, he preaches the gospel, he heals the sick, he delivers people from demonic possession, he does nothing but love people around him, except for the Pharisees. He does nothing but good. And we delivered him up to be crucified. In John 15:13, it says, greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. You know, there's a lot of Americans who died on the battlefield trying to save their friends' lives. I heard I heard one time that every soldier that died is a Christian because he gave his life for his country. Boy, I want to tell you something. That is so wrong. They died giving their life for their country, but that doesn't make them a Christian. There's a thing about that shooting in California the other day, that some people were diving in front of other people to save them. That doesn't make them a Christian. I'm not sure. Patton did a prayer one time because of the weather. That didn't make him a Christian. As we learned today, that there's only one way to heaven.
Amen.
And there's only one door. That door has been made available to us by the death of Jesus Christ. Not by the death of soldiers. John 10:11. Says that I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Jesus gave his life for us. Hebrews is talking about he's the captain of our faith. Three little boys were born at different times. The first two little boys fought. The third little boy surrendered. Without the third little boy, none of us would be talking right now. None of us would be alive. None of us would be here. It's strange, but the only way that a Christian really wins is when he surrenders. At my baptism, when I flew home for my baptism, they had a guest speaker there because they was getting ready to change pastors. The pastor that left was a good King James Version Bible preaching believing pastor. And the reason he left is because he started a little bitty church and just kept growing and growing and growing until they built this great big church on a hill. And the people, the leaders of the town, started going there because it was the biggest church there around, and they wanted to be part of a big church. And they bumped the pastor out because there was liberal. And now they got a Joel Osteen look-alike, sound-alike, preach-alike person. I forgot where I was going. I'm sorry. And it's tough getting old. Have no idea where I was going. Sorry. Well, let's go on. Jesus gave his life so we might have life, and we might have it more abundantly. You know, those people that fought in the wars, our wars, they fought that we might have freedom too. It's so strange that the liberal media and the liberals want to jump on soldiers. But if it wasn't for those soldiers dying, they wouldn't be able to talk the way they wanted to talk. It's sad. One day, you know, this, I don't know. I'm not God, but what if the liberals get what they want? They're going to find that they don't want communism. They're going to find that they don't want the Muslims to come over here. What if the gay media would have the Muslims come over here and see what happens? You see, we take for granted this country. And if you ever go overseas, you'll find that this is the best country in the world.
Amen.
When I came back from France, I went to Holland, and I went to France, and I went to Belgium. the first time I went overseas. And when I came back, I got off the ground. I wasn't even in Texas, and I kissed the ground. We are so spoiled over here. But it was because of people that fought. It was because of people that gave their lives so that we could have the freedoms we had. The pilgrims, they came over here and died of diseases. And when they finally got enough people to build up, then England wanted to tax them. And most of them came over here because they wanted the freedom from religion, freedom from the church religion. They wanted to worship God the way they wanted to worship God. Why can't we see that? Why can't we see that the men who fought and the women who fought this country died so that we could be free, so that we could have a difference of opinion, so that we could think the way we want to think, but we could also honor them, so that we could look at our soldiers today not like we looked at the Vietnam soldiers when they came back, and show them respect, show them the dignity that they deserve. And why can't we do that to Jesus, who created this world? The cathedral, I'm listening to cathedrals and old Southern gospel groups now. The cathedrals sang a song, "I Thirst." That God, Jesus on the cross, says, "I thirst," when he created water.
The moguls sing that too.
I want to tell you something. If it wasn't for Jesus surrendering,
yeah,
we wouldn't have life right now.
That's right.
All he had to do was say, "I cannot do this." All he had to say is, "I don't want to do this." All he had to say was, "No." I thought it was funny when I got to quit saying that word, funny. I thought it was ironic when they came for him that night in the garden, that when they said, he said, "Who are you looking for?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." And he says, "I am he." And they all fell back. He might have had a little tension in his voice. He might have had a little bit of, "You know what, I'm kind of mad at this situation." But they all fell down just at the voice of Jesus. Can I tell you something? We're all going to fall down at the voice of Jesus. We're all going to bow our knees and we're all going to say that he is Lord.
Amen.
Why don't we do that now?
Yeah.
I know what I was talking about now. That preacher, that intern preacher, says, "All right, I want all you Baptists after the service and everything." He said, "I want all you Baptists to raise your hands." Because this is the international sign of "I surrender." The Japs did it. The Germans did it. We've done it. If you really want to win as a Christian, you have to surrender. You got to let God win your battles.
Yeah.
You got to let God win your battles. But you have to do something too. You got to fight. You see, Jesus won the greatest battle of all, and he did by surrendering. He did it by laying down his life. And in fact, he told his disciples, "If you're going to be my disciples, you have to deny yourself."
Yeah.
If you give up your life, you're going to win it. But if you don't give up your life, you're going to lose it.
Yeah.
Patton did great things. He became what he wanted to be, a hero. Whether he's in heaven or not, that's between him and God. Whether you go to heaven or not is between you and God. But if you're going to serve God, you got to deny yourself.
Yeah.
If you're going to serve God, you better hold up your hands and surrender so that you can win. It's so hard sometimes for us to do that because I asked God one time to make me a winner. I've lost everything in my life. And I asked God to make me a winner. And then I tried to go out and do it myself. And it didn't work. Well, I was getting things, but I wasn't winning. The day I quit my job is when I said this. You know what? I started winning when I did that. And the very next day, I put my hands back on the wheel. And I said, all right, I know where you're going, so I'll go. I didn't know where God was taking me. And it's so easy for us to grab hold of the wheel. It's so easy for us to grab hold of the reins and say, I'm going to go where I want to go. But God said, you're only going to go where I tell you to go. You're only going to do what I tell you to do. And if you do that, I'll win all the victories in your life. David was a great warrior and won many battles. But he couldn't build the temple of God because there was so much blood on his hands. Saul lost his kingdom because he was disobedient. Moses didn't get to see the promised land. He got to see it, but he didn't get to go in because of one thing he did wrong. I'm so glad that the Bible says that he never stopped working on us.
Amen.
That he'll perform it into the day of Jesus Christ. That if we'll just, excuse me, if we'll just get in and sit down and shut up and go for the ride, there's no telling where he's going to take us. The problem with us is we don't want to let go of the reins. The problem with us, we really don't want to surrender. We want all the accolades. We want all the praises. We want all the trophies. But we don't want to fight. And to be a good Christian and to win our battles, we have to give up first. Yeah. Heavenly Father, I thank you for Veterans Day. I thank you so much for the men and women who fought for this country, who died for this country. And Lord, we pray for all the families of the fallen heroes. Lord, we pray for the soldiers that are fighting today. We pray for all of our military. And Lord, my greatest wish and prayer is they put Jesus back in the military. How in the world can a chaplain or a person pray but not pray in Jesus' name? I pray, Lord, that we would, as a country, and we've already got lax, we got Trump in there, and all of a sudden we says, well, we don't need to vote anymore. It doesn't matter. Lord, it matters. I pray, Lord, that we would continue the fight. Lord, I pray for our country's leaders, Lord, that they make the right decisions. And I pray for each and every one of us, Lord, that we would surrender, that we do what you want us to do so that we could win. So that one day that we would see you and you would say, come in, thou good and faithful servant. Lord, I pray that in the next election that we don't put a liberal in there. But Lord, I pray for your will to be done. And I pray, Lord, that you would bless us and watch over us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. All right, praise the Lord, Brother Tracy. The world has yet to see what God can do through a man who's totally surrendered Amen.
To God. Praise the Lord.
Let's stand and sing 308 in our songbook on I Surrender. I won't have you hold up both hands as we sing this. Got to hold on to your book, but let's do that in our surrender. All to Jesus I surrender.